It is Thursday, the 24th of October, and this is episode 186 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome to the latest episode of Digital Outbox. I am Chris. I'm in the driver's seat, literally with Ian. Hello, Ian.
Good evening, Chris. You will always be in the driving seat.
And that makes you in the passenger seat. Along for the ride.
It's almost like a bromance.
Yes, so racing updates. Had the final race of the year. Didn't do enough. As you know, because you came along to watch.
So, never mind the racing. I got to physically touch you for the first time.
And you've got a fine touch.
Flesh was pressed. Brian was emotional. Sort of tears in his eye. And I better not say that. And to be honest, you were pretty awesome.
It was a really. I had so much adrenaline, and so I was hyped up that race. And I tell you what, I didn't do enough. In fact, I got trounced by the winner. But we had such an awesome race. I can't moan. It's all on YouTube. If you go onto YouTube, so go search Cheesy Academy. I'm sure it'll be there.
And I mean, the actual race itself, dropped down to fifth, worked your way back up to second. Awesome amount of rain at the end. And my lasting memory will be you buzzing all night until just after kind of halfway through your starter. And it was one of the biggest crashes I have seen for a long time.
Oh, you should have seen me on Monday. Monday was incredible. I just wanted to curl into a little ball.
I'm so glad I took Monday off.
Yeah, I wish I had. Anyway, so yes. And just in further news, today I've been eating chorizo sausages, which has been very nice, until I just went to throw the packet in the bin and it said, cook first. So if I flake out halfway through this podcast, I'd like to leave all my will to my two sisters. There we go.
Does that not make you some sort of dog?
I think it does. And the fact that I didn't even notice shows something about the quality of chorizo that I'm buying. There we go. Anyway, so always check your packets. Let's get on with some news, shall we? We're going to start this week with WH Smith in porn scandal. WH Smith has been selling smutty porn.
My WH Smith's always sold smutty porn. I don't know what the big deal is. Used to go in, all the free, and you could tell where the popular bits of WH Smith are, because they used to have a carpet, and it was all the frayed carpets bits round about the kind of porno bits where people were standing, reading, shuffling in their shoes.
So this is because they stock in their digital stores. So this is their online shop that they've actually taken their shop down because they were so appalled at what they'd done. But they shop, their ebook content comes from Kobo.com, and Kobo.com have done a lot of self-publishing ebooks recently. So that's people just coming along, writing a book and publishing it through that. And because that makes its way onto Amazon.com, onto whsmith.co.uk, they've been writing about naughty stuff.
That's what I couldn't believe, because when they said they'd take their site down, I was like, surely it's just like their book site, or surely it's just a little bit of it.
But no, they took the whole lot down.
The whole thing was replaced with like an index.html that basically said, we're taking it down, we found some dodgy content, we're really sorry, we'll get this back up sometime.
So almost like they're owned by the Daily Mail or something.
Yeah. Yes. And I've just checked this back up, because this had happened, because we didn't really do a podcast last week, because we're all too busy. Yeah. So this kind of happened... what, last weekend or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Before then, about 10 days ago.
Yes. So anyway, it also affected Barnes & Noble in the US. And is it one other place was using? Anyway, it's affected other people as well. So yeah, there we go. They're back up and running now. But yeah, they kind of overreacted a little bit.
I don't know what it says more. Either they had absolutely no trade from their online store, or it's somebody like me running it, and they just thought, what's the easiest thing to do? Sort it.
In index.html. HMV, they are trying to recover themselves, obviously, after their administration issue. And they have launched an iOS app, which was designed to sell songs. So instead of buying CDs, you can now go and buy a song and put it into your digital locker and therefore have access to it wherever. Things turn for the worst, though, right?
Apple's pretty good with these type of things, in that they they vet the app and they say, you know, yeah or nay, whether it can go up. And they said yes to this one. Then a couple of days later, I said, actually, you're not giving us a cut. You know, we're not getting the 30%. You need to take this down. And HMV were like, yeah, we'll politely ignore that one. And a day later, it was taken down.
Yeah, so it no longer exists in the iOS store until they make changes. They are saying that anyone that's already downloaded it shouldn't have a problem continuing. But yeah, effectively, they aren't going through their payment channels. You can buy a song without paying Apple. Shock, horror.
Very
Someone's
much.
Not paying Apple for something.
I'm actually surprised HMV didn't have something. I just assumed that was something they would have because it's kind of like almost like a default thing you expect now from these big retailers. But there you go.
There you go. They hadn't, and they did, and now they don't. Google Project Shield. So this is a new Google service that they are offering to people to try and protect themselves from denial of service attacks. So you can leverage their massive infrastructure, which can pretty much put up with anything. I think it's via their what they call their Page Speed service. So this is a service they had already, and this is a kind of a new additional thing they're adding on top of it. And basically they're offering this as a kind of trial to certain users. So they're looking for particular users at the moment. So maybe people looking political parties that need to make sure they don't get pulled down, and I guess other sort of important freedom of speech type websites. They're trying to make sure they can stay available.
Yep. Seems that another one of these, for everybody saying criticizing Google and adverts and all that kind of nonsense, this is one of the things that they do, you know, that they do try and take a stand on these things and
you know what, as much as everyone moaned last week about Google doing all that kind of faces against adverts and, you know, it's a storm in a teacup. First of all, no one really looks at Google Plus anyway, so it doesn't matter about in there. No one really checks out the adverts, and you know, no one cares that much. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. No. And they did make it very easy for everyone to opt out. So if you fancied opting out, it was easy to do.
Yep, it was on one page, one checkbox. Yeah. I think a lot of news, you know, online were trying to say, oh, everybody's changing their photos to Eric Schmidt, so he's the one that's recommending things.
And they weren't. It was just because that's the vocal minority you seem to shout loudest.
It was like 100 people changing it and going, look at us. And it's like,
and the rest great. Were like, what? I don't understand. Anyway, I don't just, care.
And check the checkbox.
Yeah, they
can. So well done, Google. Project Shield looks to be a good effort.
And they will open up. They are saying that it might well end up being a paid for service, though, eventually. Argos have jumped on the tablet bandwagon. So a bit like Tesco did a little while back with the Huddle. They are launching their cheap tablet. But this time, maybe they've gone a bit too cheap, right?
Yep. So this is the first one. I guess we should have a klaxon. for tablet hardware warning. It all happened this week.
Yes, we're going a bit hardware mad on tablets.
So this was like, what, £99, I think it was, compared to the Huddle was 120. And basically the reviews of this were awful.
But they have, in some ways, they're right. They're basically making a tablet which is designed for 8 to 13-year-olds, making it at a price which people aren't going to balk at too much for a Christmas present. And they've whacked on Jelly Bean and they've put parental controls on. So it's all stacked up quite nicely right up until the point the review said that it felt cheap and nasty.
Yep. And I think people had actually high hopes because the Huddle reviewed pretty well.
Very well. That you extra know, £20 seems to have done quite a lot.
Yep, and I don't know whether it's the extra £20 or whether they just had, you know, is it the bigger buying power that Tesco has that they've managed to
I think
to
they
select.
Might be subsidising some of it as well.
Yeah, because, it, you know, I've fiddled around with one. It feels fine. I would never have looked at it and thought, yeah, that's 100, you know, £120. Yeah. You know, you're a lot higher. So yeah, if you're going to buy a tablet and you're going to buy it for your kids, buy a Huddle. Don't buy an Argos.
But the thing is, the kind of footfall that they get through their Argos stores, it's going to be an impulse buy more than anything. So it's going to be like the TVs that you buy in Tesco. You know, people pick up TVs that are pap because they don't look at a review. They just, you know, go and buy a TV. I think you'll find it's the same thing. It's just cheap enough that it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but it's like a Pikey tablet. It's just no, bro, let's stop there.
Yeah, okay. Amazon have also released a new, well, no, that's not true. Their Kindle Fire HDX. Basically, we talked about it before. It was only available in the US, but now pre-orders are coming over here.
Absolutely. So 8.9-inch version is £329 for a 16-gig model. 7-inch is £199 for a 16-gig model.
So £199 again in a real... I mean, and the hardware for that has been considered pretty rock solid. Nice absolutely. Solid feel.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with it, really. As long as you're happy in the Amazon... in the Amazon infrastructure only, because they've got a heavily remodeled Android version on that.
They have, and I think from memory, I think it was difficult to kind of root it and do all what you wanted to do. It is fairly tied down, I think.
Yeah, and it's designed to consume Amazon content, full stop, and that's why theirs is cheap, because they subsidize it via the payment model. But nevertheless, I know people who've got them and they like them. So there we go.
I actually wondered if they would do more. No, in America, they do that whole Prime. If you're a Prime member, you get the video streaming. That doesn't seem to have happened.
So you've not heard about that yet?
No.
They're quite good at rolling features out, though, I think, generally speaking. They do tend to eventually get parity. Nokia have also been telling us what they're going to do and what they're going to release. They started with some phones.
Yeah. So there's two new phones, and these are 6-inch.
These are massive.
This seems to be like the new thing. It's like, oh, I don't know.
I mean, if you think that, if 7 inches is a tablet, or these 6 inches are, they call them the phablets, don't they? But yeah, I guess this is a thing now. People must like these.
Yep. I mean, considering the iPhone 5 was the move from 3.5 to 4-inch, and we're still at 4 on the iPhone side of things. And you look at things like, well, there's Nokia, 2 6-inch smartphones.
Yep.
One more high-end, that's the Lumia 1520, and there's a kind of lower-end 1320. 1520 will be out this year. And I've only got dollar price at the moment, $739, so
that's
probably...
A lot of dollars.
Probably like $600, $650 here.
Going to be, isn't it, for a Microsoft phone?
But, I mean, so 6-inch, full HD... And a whole load of buzzwords like clear black and all this kind of nonsense, sunlight readability, super sensitive touch. You know, it's like, ugh, don't care about your buzzwords. But it does have a PureView, another buzzword, 20 megapixel camera.
So it's got a Zeiss optic as well, which, generally does seem to lead to good visuals. So that's good for the camera.
Yeah, so I think the camera-wise, I think it's going to be a winner.
But if you were in the Microsoft arena, then this sounds, you'd be quite excited by this. This is, a nice bit of hardware. a nice bit of hardware and a nice bit of software, if you like that kind of thing.
Yep, and it's got Office built in. What more could a Microsoft fanboy wish for?
There you go. Fabulous. But they also are releasing a tablet as well. Yes. So this is a 10.1 Lumia 2520. Talking around the $500 mark. So kind of in the sweet spot, I guess. Does cost more if you want to go with LTE, but it's going to come with a keyboard, so it's definitely going down that Microsoft route of it's not just a tablet, you can actually turn it into a full-on content machine. Again, it's coming with Office, so it kind of makes sense in a way to have a nice keyboard.
But it's RT. It's Windows RT,
which has caused problems. We're going to come onto that later on as well,
actually. But I mean, part of me feels it's like, and I think I'm sure I read this because I don't come up with things like this, but it's like they're making the best hardware for the worst operating system. They're making really good hardware when you look at some of the Nokia phones that have come out. And this tablet looks, good as well.
Yeah, I've liked the Nokia style that they've been coming up with, actually. I thought it looks different and, stylish. It's gone a different route from Apple, and I think it's worked because of that.
It's also in keeping with the Windows Phone.
Yes, it works. It's kind of bringing that brand into a physical form, yeah.
And in the same way, I think iOS 7 reflects some of the hardware choices this time around for Apple. I think Nokia have done the same. More so than Microsoft themselves, even though Microsoft really own them now.
Yes, they're pretty much the same thing now.
Don't forget Instagram. It shows you how desperate I think that the whole app market is around Windows. And although there's lots of apps there, it was like, this was one of their keynote points. Instagram is finally coming to Windows Phone in a number of weeks.
Yeah. And the fact that Instagram pretty much is just, a picture display. It doesn't take much to write an app to do that. So the fact it's taken them that long is a bit telling, isn't it? We're down on them, and it's not fair because I think they will actually end up doing well. I predict them having quite a good Christmas, actually.
They are doing well because remember we had that thing that said there was 1.5 million users in the UK?
Yeah. I just think they're going to have a good Christmas.
I've still not seen one in the wild, I'll be honest.
I've seen three now, I think. It's not many, though.
I was on four planes last week, and all I saw was Samsungs and iPhones.
Yeah.
It really was as black. I've not seen anybody using any HTCs. It was all Samsung devices or iPhones.
Yeah, there's my answer phone again. Wonderful. I thought I'd turn that off. Clearly not. We've also had more hardware. Apple this time, they've had another keynote. This was no shock. We knew they were going to have a keynote, but it's always an exciting time. And I guess it was the release of Mavericks that was the kind of the big release for the day. They have to give OS X a bit of a run every now and again. And it's free.
OS 10.
Yeah.
Because if anyone was here, it'd be like, OS 10. For good grief. Good grief.
So yeah, they announced it was free, and it was for immediate download. Obviously, they talked about Mavericks a while back now, and so they've just released it and they made it free. I've installed it. I don't know if you have.
I have. So straight after the keynote, I kind of looked in the App Store, wasn't there, and then somebody tweeted it's now available. Went to the website, clicked on it from there, and 5 minutes later it was down, and it was like I don't know how they were able to serve out so much traffic.
Because it was 5 gig download, roughly speaking.
Yeah. And I guess what they emphasize with this one is that there's lots of under the hood things, so power efficiency and.
But they've been saying that for the last four iterations, as far as
no,
I can tell.
Absolutely. But I think on the charts in the latest MacBook Air showed it went from 12 hours to 15 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually made, percentage wise, it's quite a difference considering. There's no hardware change.
And anecdotally, I was having all sorts of problems yesterday before I installed, as far as I think it's probably memory usage. And today I've seen none of that. It's been rock solid. So
very good.
It's only one day, but it does seem like everything's become solid. I've noticed a few funny things. Like I was moving a window from one to the other and it kind of ended up disappearing off both, which was a bit weird.
So there are
some strange things going on.
So I've only stuck it on my laptop. I've still to do the desktop. And the desktop, because I'm having not really any big issues, but that's been 2.5 years. And I just think, sod it, wipe it. There's a whole lot of apps on here that I'm never using and only install what I need. I guess the thing I'm looking forward to most is the multi-monitor.
And it did this weird thing where a window just disappeared when I swiped it from one to another. But overall, it has again been solid. And I love the fact that you've got the menu at the top of each one if you want, and you can have the dock on both. So it just feels like we said a while back, it feels like it's properly integrated now. You can have full screen on one and not the other. It doesn't ruin everything. So
yeah,
it feels like it's done properly now rather than a half-assed method before.
Never have I spent £500, which was when I bought the monitor, and been so disappointed when I went full screen and I saw a screen of linen. It was like, who thought that was good? But there's not many new apps. I mean, there was Maps and iBooks. Maps looks pretty solid, and it was quite nice to just send a route to the iPhone, and that all worked well.
I think we said at the time we were just surprised that Maps and iBooks weren't there already, and we just haven't noticed really.
Do you use Chrome?
Yes.
So I use Chrome on the desktop and on the laptop as well. I'm seeing lots of people saying the energy saving they're getting from using Safari against Chrome is pretty impressive.
Safari they've gone more down the route of hiding things away and stopping processes that are in the background. So that was a big selling point when they initially announced all this. So there you go. But if you're on a desktop, it doesn't really make any difference. On a laptop, I can imagine that it does make a difference.
And hats off, because I was expecting to spend £15-16 or $20.
Yeah, I think most people were, so yeah.
And to turn that free, to see it was available today, and also to extend that over, basically, if your hardware supports it, it's free. You know, so even if you didn't buy, Mountain Lion or Lion,
it's quick headlines for them, and it makes sure that everyone's on the latest hardware, which is on the latest software, which they want. Because it makes their life a lot easier, and they can shove it in everyone's face.
So overall, pretty positive, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and tabbed Finder eventually and finally, basically. I still hate the Finder, by the way. I think it sucks.
Yeah, but it's interesting because I use Pathfinder, and I'm just wondering, I might just try it without it, just see if I can get by with.
I never got on with Pathfinder in the end, so I never moved on. Yeah, so I just suffer with. In fact, I think I've said this before, I hate the way that Macs deal with Windows, but there you go. But we also had hardware announced, stepped up hardware for the MacBook Pro 13-inch. Basically, they've got the Haswell processors in there, so we're going to see good battery life. And prices are slightly lower as well. So they've upgraded and lowered the price as they tend to do at this mid stage. And they seem nice. They're bigger. Well, they're thinner. Are they light? Yeah, they're lighter as well.
Yeah. So much so, because Shaq was in the market for one and he hung fire until the announcement, and within an hour he'd ordered his MacBook Pro 13-inch. And it was here today.
So Wow. So they did have it all ready to go.
It was all ready to go. And because certainly for me, when I looked at the weight differences and what you get from the Retina, and what everybody was saying was the Retina last year, there was enough to drive the Retina. But when you started moving screens around, there was a bit of flicker and movement. Yeah. And everybody was saying, oh, we're going to get it on the air this year. But I think the reality for the folk that were using it was you need a lot more power. And the Haswell being, you know, it is 90% faster and the updated graphics, they're basically saying this is the one to get. It's almost like the, you know, you don't get the first iteration, wait, you know, for the second. So I'm really looking for, I'm sure he's bought a beast, because I think, and he got, price-wise, I thought for what he got, it was really good. So no doubt there will be a glowing report from Mr. Apple.
Of course there will be. 15 inches is a similar thing. So they've upgraded everything. Then they've dropped the price very slightly. So again, all the advantages and better price are good for them. Mac Pro is also, we've got more details on that, including, have we got a release now?
December.
So it's going to start shipping in December. But basically it's pretty much what they said, which is, you know, tons and tons of processing, loads of fast memory, and everything flash-based storage.
Yep, and the thing that they've not got up is, because everybody's expecting that you'll be able to configure it, and it'll cost like, you know, 20 grand, because the starting price is 2.5.
Yeah, I mean, it's expensive.
It is expensive, and that's not including any monitors, because they still claim they can drive, you know, 3-4K monitors.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised they didn't release a monitor. I really was surprised.
Well, maybe they'll come up with a little announcement in December. Who knows? I mean, the monitor can't be that exciting for everyone. Can it? Software. iLife has been updated. iWork has been updated. okay, fair enough. But they're offering them free for, if you're buying new hardware, then you can get that for free.
Yep, and it's all updates for free. If you've bought new hardware, it's all free. It's for iLife and iWork. And the only reason I'm going, is, yeah, there's a nice new look, but I mentioned this before we started. So GarageBand stripped out all the podcast features, which is like an absolute pain in the tits for me.
Yeah.
But there are some nice new features in there for everybody else. So.
And they've kind of, they've unified across iOS as well. So the kind of, they feel like the same family now more than they, you know, the cut down version, if you like.
Yeah. So I think previously in iPhoto, you couldn't do like a book and order it, etc. from the iPad. And it's like, that's all there now. So you can actually do, you know, basically everything on the iPad that you could on your desktop.
So and that's probably why the feature sets have come down, to sort of make, you know, make the iPad the main one, and then let's follow the desktop on.
And I think worse, iWork stripped out a whole load of stuff, and it's almost like they've went to, because what they've been talking about is that you can do it, same file formats everywhere. You can make the edits on your on iOS, and continue editing on your desktop, and continue editing on the web. And it's like the web is the
lowest common denominator they've had to go with to be able to do that. And maybe they are pairing it back and saying, well, actually, for most people, this having that flexibility of being able to go everywhere, it's kind of like saying that Google Docs is the limiting factor. If Google is going to release a bit of software, they'd start with Google Docs and work from there. And that's never going to give you a good bit of desktop software.
No, I mean, some of the keynote things they stripped out when I looked at it was just like, oh, what? You know, it just was really surprising. I've never really liked numbers, to be honest. And pages actually looked all right. You know, you could do all your kind of normal desktop editing. I'm sure I'm not an advanced user in these kind of things. You know, so that looked fine for me. And I thought, well, fair enough. The online editing was really limited compared to something like Google Docs.
Yeah.
But I think that's taken many years, many iterations, and it's pretty rock solid.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you still wouldn't want to produce anything more than a, you know, fairly basic document in it, but it's possible to do all that, so it's good. iPads also got updates. So we got a new, they called it the iPad Air, because it was, I think, 1 millimeter thinner.
So it's slightly thinner. But I guess The big thing is the lightness, because it was, and I've not got it in grams, so apologies, but it was 1.4 pounds. It's now down to a pound.
I think most people still think about their mobiles and, sorry, their laptops in pounds. So I don't think that's anything bad. But yeah, £1. So it's a kind of, I guess it's a 40% reduction in weight.
But
seeing as that was one of its biggest moans, that's pretty cool.
And they've done that but they've also kept the same size screen. The battery life is still 10 hours. And it's got this is interesting, it's got the A7 and the M7. It was in the iPhone 5S that came out. So processor-wise, 64-bit. I think that performance jump is going to be really, really important, because a lot of the apps run on the iPad are hefty.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it just gives developers more flexibility and more room to stretch. They keep fleeting on. I've talked about this as well at length, the fact that, you know, they keep fleeting on about getting everything thinner and thinner and thinner, and they've obviously got it thinner and kept the battery life. But why not use that extra millimeter and give us
20 hours.
12 hours battery life, give me 14 hours. Okay, you get to the point where actually you don't need any more battery because it fixed, you know, you just plug it in overnight. But nevertheless, you know, say this fight for continuously thinner, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's a good thing in your hands or anything, because I don't notice that the iPad is fat. Let's put it that way.
No, I agree. I do notice it's heavy when I'm holding and reading it. So there's a kind of weight trade-off there.
But you can make something lighter and not make it thinner. But I know what you mean.
I do know what you mean. Obviously, their 10-hour battery life is something that they're not willing to compromise on.
That's good because that's where they need to be with it. And I've said that all along. They got that right. They absolutely nailed it.
And we've seen that even with the laptop that Shaq's picked up is seemingly 9-hour battery life, which for a laptop, you know, of that performance, it's like that's damn good.
Yeah, and as long as it keeps that performance, that's what you're looking for, isn't it? It just makes it useful rather than not useful. No Touch ID, though. They didn't decide to put that in there.
I know.
I wonder why.
And I don't know whether are they struggling hardware-wise? You know, is it one of these things that they could do the volumes for only one of their devices this year?
Well, if you think of that, I mean, the other thing is
is it unproven? Did they have some concern?
I think there's as much as, you know, they've got a price that they can sell an iPad for.
And that's actually
more to the bone on an iPad than it is for the phone, because the phone is considerably more expensive. And actually the innards of the phone aren't that different from the iPad.
They're almost exactly the same.
When you actually open up an iPad and you see what's inside, it's pretty much phone sized. The rest of it is just battery. So the chances are that maybe they just don't have the flexibility money wise on the iPad to do that on all their models. So therefore they can't really do it. Because they are still selling these things for $399. They're starting at $399, which is still in the sweet spot.
It was first world problems, just because I'm used to the 5S now, and it was an update this week, so it doesn't emphasize the swipe. So I'm now getting used to like Touch ID and use it all the time until I go to the iPad and I hold it. I'm like, oh,
it doesn't work. I have to say, my iPad is terrible still at the moment with keyboard lag. It's just awful.
What iPad have you got?
Two, I think.
Two. So one of the things to maybe try is the 703 update that came out.
I don't think I've done that yet.
One of the options in the accessibility is to switch off the animations, which is allegedly to help with the motion sickness that people were getting, but it actually helps with speed.
Okay, well, maybe I'll look to that then, because say at the moment it's making some things quite unusable. It's very very frustrating, and it's missing keystrokes as well, and then it, you know, eventually catches up, but it's missed every now and again. So I notice it when I'm doing some notes at work, and then it doesn't do anything, and then it goes and it's missed stuff.
And just the other thing on that was what I saw when I first put on iOS 7.
So it's still not resolved for iPad, basically.
Yeah, but when I did it again, it was super smooth.
Right, okay.
So I'm just wondering, do you bite the bullet and just reinstall it?
I haven't got that many apps, to be honest, so it wouldn't take me very long.
But I didn't do a reinstall. All I did was I install it and then restore from backup. So I didn't like start fresh and then think, what apps will I put on?
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe I'll look to that and see whether that actually solves it, but whether I can be bothered or not, I don't know. First of November is going to start shipping.
Yep, another bizarre thing. Sorry, I didn't realize. I thought you were jumping on. They're keeping the iPad 2 as well.
So right.
You can still buy an iPad 2, which is like...
How much are they charging for that then?
The same price as an iPad Mini Retina.
which is starting 319.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Because that was their other announcement, the iPad Mini Retina. So basically the same iPad Mini, but with a stupidly high resolution. So it's actually the same resolution screen as the iPad Air. So
everything. So see previously, iPad Air. Sorry, I didn't have an iPad Air before. The iPad and the iPad Mini, the hardware was different. There was a Retina screen, non-Retina screen. Then the CPU was different. All that kind of good stuff. But these are basically the same. But they're no exactly longer. The same.
So it shows they can make things even smaller.
Yep. So they're exactly the same because it's got the A7, it's got the M7, it's got the same battery life, it's got the same camera, it's got the same number of pixels.
Yep. So I think, like you said, they're quite liking this new small form factor and other people love it. So why not give them the hardware to go with it? So, yep. That pixel density is, again, ridiculously high for such a small screen. But anyway, they've done some new covers and some new cases as well. They've also got a new retail chief. They've got the Burberry CEO, Angela.
Yes. Angela Arendts.
Angie.
It was interesting. I was watching another podcast and they've said, oh, they've got another Brit. And then we were told, well, she's actually American. Oh, all right. Well, that seems to be a good move for Apple. And I was like, what a change in tone that was.
Yeah.
So she's moving from being the retail chief of Burberry to being like a senior vice president at Apple.
It seems like a better fit than the last choice of Dixon's.
She was getting paid like $18 million a year.
Wow.
So I don't know what Apple have offered her.
Well, to move sideways, it's a great move. I think even people at those kind of levels think about good moves, and it's a good one. She's in with the biggest company right at the top, reporting to the owner of the chief exec of the biggest company in the world.
And it's another fashion move. There's been a few fashion people moving in, and everybody's talking about the watch and all that kind of thing.
Coming. Watch about style over substance. We got to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, but style over substance won the British Bake Off this week.
yeah, you're right. It does, but eventually it drains. So, you know.
No, but there's lots of people and there's lots of things. We never touched on it about the Apple changes this week. A lot of the stuff has gone free, you know, free operating system, all the software's free. And it's almost like, you know, buy this hardware and you get all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Which in some ways is like a bit like Google have done for years. It's like, here's all this stuff for free. And there's a bit of alignment going on. It's almost like pick a service, and it's like, well, at least I know Google's works.
But anyway, so she, you know, let's see what she does. She's, you know, as long as she doesn't cock anything up there onto a winner, surely.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah. There's you know, yeah. Okay.
Speaking of winners,
Windows 8.1 update was temporarily released, and then it was removed from Windows RT. Because it bricked devices.
Yeah, which is a bit unfortunate.
Well, it's unfortunate specifically because it's designed so that it's pretty bulletproof and you can't cock it up, and they managed to cock it up.
Well, the thing is, I put it in there as well, the RT one is the one that's like, you know, this was supposed to be, this is the only platform, we understand it, we'll put it out there, unlike all the different PCs, which have got loads of different drivers, and it's always been a nightmare. You know, Windows upgrades were always a bit, ooh, better have driver disks, better make sure I know what I'm doing, better make sure I've got backups and I can recover.
Yeah, so it was really unfortunate. I mean, it's like, you know, it's hard not to kick people when they're down like this, isn't it? So let's walk away. Let's just leave them there.
Have you tried it?
No, I still haven't tried it.
I've done it.
Okay.
I did it in my VM. First time.
I think I have seen some bits of it, though. I can't remember why or where.
So the first time I tried it, it spent about an hour, did its stuff, and then it says, nah, it didn't work, so I'm gonna put you back to Windows 8. And I was like, thanks for that.
Great.
So I just tried it again, and that time it worked.
Okay.
So they give you little tips on navigating, because you know how that first time you launch Windows 8,
it doesn't make any sense.
I am lost.
Yeah.
And you've got a little start button, and all it does is take you back and forward.
Yeah, but I think we both agreed that those little changes would make quite a big difference. But from the sounds of it, there still doesn't address the issues. If you're not using a touchscreen, it still doesn't let you get to places, and it still
definitely not.
Can't get home, and you still can't effective, you know, the only way of doing some things is right clicking, which is invisible and impossible.
It is. And there were some things I actually did. Like, I thought the tile screen looked a bit better. The mail app looked cleaner than it did to me before.
Mail app was one of the ones that was causing problems if you weren't touching it, though.
Yeah. IE11's in there. Nice updates in there. I quite like the snap views, which I hadn't tried before. The snap views were this kind of, you can set your apps up to become like panes and work alongside each other.
Yes.
And that actually worked quite well. So yeah, it actually looked a decent upgrade. I mean, it's free. It's almost like the, you know, Service Pack X or whatever.
I think by 8.3 or 8.4, it might be a bit like Vista. You know, it'll have generated so much bad press that people will still slate it. But actually, by the end of its life, it may well be actually a pretty solid proposition. So maybe, if they're lucky, their next Windows 9 or whatever they want to call it will end up being, an XP. Not an XP, a Windows 7, which was, you know, pretty rock solid. It's just a shame they have to take these backward steps to get there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Twitter has changed the way that they work. So basically you can direct message someone who you're following. Someone who is following can direct message. No, it's the other way around, isn't it? I'm trying to get this right.
So I can direct message you.
Yes.
If you still choose to follow me. But at the moment, I couldn't direct message you if you weren't following you. But now you can check a checkbox and...
And it's good that you have to check that checkbox, because otherwise, imagine the amount of spam. I mean, people who are saying, I am going to check this checkbox, I just cannot imagine how much... They're not going to be able to get through their direct messages, because it's just going to be people bombarding them, especially if it's a celebrity of some sort.
Well, I mean, it's basically like putting your mobile phone... You know, making it public to like everybody.
Well, seeing as a lot of people do hook it up to their, you know, SMSs anyway for alerts, it's going to go bonkers.
I think it's mental.
But I can see why Twitter have offered it as a service, because some people don't like that. I mean, the fact is that people were using it to try and get followers, basically, and get a celebrity to follow them by kind of saying, oh, if you follow me back, I'm going to send you a direct message because I've got some important news.
Cock.
Yeah. There we go. But some people will turn it on, and there we go. They will be covered in spam. hot news.
Where's my...
Exciting. BlackBerry Messenger apps are coming to the App Store. They're there, or they should be.
Next story.
Yeah, okay. They did release them, but then they are releasing them, the service. You can only... really like tiny... one person at a time kind of thing, just to make sure it doesn't crash like it did when it leaked.
Yes, they've sort of well put a queue on it. But seemingly they're claiming that there was like 6 million people downloading it and all sorts. And it's like, obviously there's lots of kids and they're thinking, yeah, this is the future.
Well, everyone remembers it. Nostalgic for BBM.
I saw a screenshot of how they're doing notifications in iOS. And in the notification screen, they show you the first 2 letters of a message, which is really helpful. Really helpful for a messaging tool to show you, like, so, to, no.
No. It. Okay. Call. So anyway, that's now there. So if you have BBM and Envy or want BBM, there you go. Go and join the queue.
Use iMessage, use Hangouts, use WhatsApp.
Yeah. LinkedIn. Now, LinkedIn, famous for doing really good, sensible things like not using people's data badly. They have come up with a pretty funky front end for some email stuff. So the idea is that when you get an email from someone, at the top of that email, they will overlay information about that person who has emailed you, and it gets it from their LinkedIn profile. So it might tell you what the job is, what skills they've got, what their employment history and stuff like that. So that all sounds good.
It sounds very useful. Sounds like a similar service to called Reportive, which they bought a year ago.
Yes.
Which is a plugin.
Problem is that because iOS is so restrictive on its APIs around its mail client, it cannot inject things into your email. So the only way that it can actually do this is by it acts as a middleman. So emails go via LinkedIn, at which point they take your email, they inject it with their HTML table that they put at the top of the page, and then they give it back, and then they forward it on effectively. But it does mean you have to give LinkedIn full access to your emails.
You know what? That is really clever. And goddamn bloody stupid dangerous at the same time.
Yeah. It's the only, as a technology piece, this was the only way they could do it. Someone came up with an idea and they thought, how can we do this? Well, just, if you give us your username password for your emails, we can do this for you. And that's what they ended up doing. But it sounds dirty. And like I say, we've had issues with LinkedIn many a time before.
Especially with our own security.
Especially around security. Especially around misuse of data.
Yep. So would I give them any of my security details for any of my email accounts? No. Would I be hacked off if somebody else starts taking my emails
and running the emails through their service? Sending to them and they're going via LinkedIn. But some people will want the service and people just won't think it through.
I saw a lot of tweets this morning saying, if you use this, you're not my friend. If you use this, I will start using secure email and force you to use encryption and all sorts of nonsense.
I wonder whether Apple might take exception to this as well, because it's definitely circumnavigating their particular rules and regs.
And also, how many enterprises are going to be really concerned? You know, that and especially when you look at LinkedIn as very much that kind of business social network. Mm. How many enterprises are going to be looking at this and thinking, sod right off? And hopefully, if it is an enterprise phone, it is locked down, you can't do this. But there'll be lots of them that aren't, and all of a sudden their emails are going through LinkedIn.
Having said all of that, when you get, when you go through Google, when you go through other places, quite often they will put, this has been scanned for viruses. They scan it. So in the same way that LinkedIn are now saying, well, there's no human involved in this process. It's literally an automated computer doing this. Google do the same thing. They add content into your emails. They strip it. They work it differently. If it's an HTML email, they'll convert it all to make sure it kind of will display in your browser window.
I had less issue with this when it was a plugin running in somebody's Gmail install that went to LinkedIn and said, for Chris Hutchison, here's his LinkedIn profile. That seemed a kind of nice way of doing it.
But I'm just saying, there's not much difference between what I just said and what they're doing. So in a way, we put up with it sometimes, so people probably will put up with it.
Yeah, just I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I don't want it. I think it shouldn't exist.
I guess the difference for me is when I'm using Gmail and I know I'm using Gmail.
Yes.
Whereas all of a sudden this is another intermediate service that's kind of
It's done all the Gmail mess and now it's doing more mess. Yeah. Okay. Games. Let's finish on some games and some delay news. Ubisoft, their much anticipated game for next gen called Watch Dogs. Which is a kind of open and open world. Is it kind of mystery, murder mystery? I don't know how it's a thriller, isn't it?
And it was all about hacking and future tech, and this was a launch title for both platforms, so it wasn't a platform exclusive, but it was launched for both PS4
and people were looking Xbox forward to it One. Because there's not that much out at launch, so this was going to be a good one.
Yep.
It's delayed
to And it's
spring 2014.
And basically, I think that means between, I think they're saying it's between April and June. Is that kind of window that they're looking at?
To be honest, they probably thought, well, we're not made the opening window, so the next good, best window is the spring, which is right. They are about right. So, it's kind of disappointing. They said that this is a quality issue. They could have made it for release, but they don't want to because they think it can make a better game. It's normally a sign that they've got bugs that they couldn't iron out at the last minute.
Yeah, because it's really late in the day. I mean, considering that we're a month now, it's 4 weeks tomorrow.
Grand Theft Auto did it, and they've released an amazing game. So.
Yeah, I'm not knocking the game. It's more just we're 4 weeks away from that brand new hardware, and as you're saying, there's some nice titles it looks like, but a couple of the big ones have lent and disappeared.
The actual physical release day titles, there's only a few that are really sparking interest. I think the Titanfall's a bit later, isn't it?
It's March. I think they announced yesterday it was March 14th.
So it's
March
quite a 16th. Long time after then.
And that felt like, because Titanfall was basically, last E3, this E3, the Eurogamer shows, it's all one game of the shows, and it's been everybody going, wow, that's a proper next gen. And I just wonder.
I guess they're realizing they can't mark this up then.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering if they had taken the decision early in the year, we're not going to be ready for November, let's just say it's next year, and it doesn't look like it's delayed and late.
I think it's going to be good. Battlefield's going to benefit from this because, that everyone's going to have to buy that now.
You've got Battlefield and Call of Duty, and if you're kind of hacked off with Call of Duty's the way it works, Battlefield's now the obvious one.
Yeah, I think people are up for a change, so there we go. Drive Club as well. Sony's driving exclusive for the PS4. That's being delayed as well.
And there's very, and I think when it comes to the actual platform exclusive, Drive Club was...
That was a biggie.
That is a biggie.
But I've heard, say, people who demoed that one and compared it to Forza, there was no comparison. So maybe that's part of the decision make process.
And it takes it away from the, because I'm sure a lot of the mags would just stand up and say, there's Forza, there's Drive Club, ouch. Because that's the feedback, same as what you're saying. There's lots of people saying, there's just, you can. Yeah.
And that would hurt PS4.
Yeah,
but it probably, I think it means now are they without entirely a driving game at launch, which I'm just trying to think through if there's another thing. I don't think there's anything serious out for launch anyway. So
no, I don't think so.
I have made it through to the end of the podcast without dying of food poisoning. This is an achievement. Sign. It's surely I'm in the clear now. I hope so. Anyway, so yes, well done for getting this far. We've a bit of a long one, but we had a lot of content. A lot of people releasing tablets. If you want to find out more about tablets, go to digitaloutbox.com. Email info@digitaloutbox.com if you want to talk to us. And you can also talk to us via Twitter and Skype, Digital Outbox. Where may we find you, Mr. Dick?
I am blogund.net. And I hopefully will, if everything goes right with my update, put up some fine, good photos from yourself last weekend.
Okay, yeah.
I'm on Twitter as Shweepa.
Excellent. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK, and academyracer.co.uk is where all my racing stuff goes. And if you want to see videos and stuff, go to YouTube. Search for Academy Cheesy. There we go. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Ta-da. Need for Speed Rivals is listed as one of the racing games.
Right.
But it is number 34 out of 35 games on Amazon now.
Yeah. And actually, Need for Speed for the last two times haven't been that bad, have they? They've been.
No.
I didn't. To be honest, I only played that Need for Speed Pursuit, whatever it's called, about three times. Yeah, it felt pretty solid.
But unfortunately, number 24 is The Crew, which is from Ubisoft and was the other one that's been delayed. And And Drive Club is number 13. So so two games that aren't available are outselling the one that is.
I forgot to say in the podcast, actually, have you seen all this kicking off about spying and stuff going on at the moment? How Europe's snubbing the US, not going to send them data anymore. And Angela Merkel has had her phone hacked.
Friends don't listen to friends.
And what's great is now it's actually affecting politicians. They're like... You can't listen to what I'm saying. But as a citizen, we would like to listen to everything.
Bollocks. If you look back at all the MI5 and spies through the history of time, all we've ever done is spy on everybody.
I know. But what I love is the fact that, say, they're up in arms that someone could listen to their phone, yet they're kind of going, they're trying to release regulations that say they can listen to whatever they like about what we're saying. No trust with their citizens.
But we're normals.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, yes. So it's all kicking off. And it shows that this whistleblowing that they didn't like and they hate actually is quite important that people know this. Quite important stuff.
And because the thing is, all the politicians are saying this is out of order.
But they're the ones doing it.
Last week, Cameron was like, you know, the revelations from The Guardian are basically, you know, it's almost treason. You know, inferring that they'd put the national security at risk. And it's like, well,
how dare
you?
Yeah, and actually, sometimes we need these things to pop out because... politicians just bury their heads. That's the problem, isn't it? They like the easy life, get elected and then avoid issues. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm just going through the Xbox list of games and
read them out because there's very few that I want. I'm buying Forza and I'm going to buy Battlefield and I think that's it.
So there's Call of Duty Ghosts, Battlefield 4, Dead Rising 3.
No, don't worry.
Rise, Son of Rome.
No, don't.
Forza, Assassin's Creed 4. Destiny, which is next year.
But that's going to say that's not launch title.
Yep. Titanfall, which is
again,
next year.
Again, not launch.
FIFA 14.
No, ooh. Can't be bothered.
No, come on. Team Lick.
No.
Team Lick.
Don't want it.
Halo 5.
Yeah, but that's not launch.
Yeah. Watch Dogs.
Not launch.
And then, oh, Just Dance.
No. Done that mistake.
Zoo Tycoon.
No.
Connect Sports Rivals.
No.
And then you're on to other ones that just aren't at launch.
Yeah, so that's no, so that's what I mean. So there's two games.
NBA 2K14.
No, I don't care about those. I know other people love those. So for me, that's nothing.
Bah.
Exactly.
Bah.
So yeah, I'm down to two games and waiting then for
Madden?
Next year.
No.
No, same doesn't do anything for me.
Mm.
I'm just a grump.
Yeah. Peter Within.
I might have to keep the Xbox hooked up because I want to get
to
the
end of GTA.
Oh, I
still will be because I can still see me and Brian doing our Halo. And as I said, GTA, I'm not going to complete it, so I'll be kicking it around for that. Zumba Fitness.
What are you saying?
So yeah, there's it's not the most inspiring set of launch titles. But then if you look back in history,
there never are.
A lot of them.
There's normally
really
one. The thing is, there's normally like a Halo. Though, yeah. You know, and I don't think we've got that this time. Forza 5 isn't that much of a draw, although it's enough for me.
The thing is, when the 360 came out, because I remember thinking I really want a Halo, but Halo 2 had just come out for the Xbox, and it was in between Halo 3 was like the first Halo, and that was a year and a half after the 360 came out.
Yeah, I guess, 360 was Project Dark and Project Zero, sorry, wasn't it? So it
yeah, but you had PGR. It was one
yeah,
of the ones
that's
titles.
True. But it, again, it, say that was, yeah, maybe I'm trying to
overreact.
So
was that
yeah.
PGR 3?
Yeah.
Was the Xbox 360?
Mm.
And I remember it was PGR2, I can't remember.
No, it's 3, I think.
Yeah, and you know, that was certainly a step up.
It was. It was the best one.
I like two. Me and Piglet. Trying to get like top 10 times in the French one of the French tracks.
Yeah, maybe I'm mixing two up. I can't remember. Anyway, we're rabbiting.
Yeah, do I need to keep this in?
I don't know, it's up to you. No, not really.
I probably will. I can't be arsed editing.